Very appropriate question. Are you ready for that day that's surely to come? This morning, as we move into this next portion, the next phase of the services, the lesson part of it, I want to just remind everybody, I'm not trying to bring politics into the church, but this Tuesday is an election day. And we as Christians need to be on the front line for voting for, and I'm not going to tell you who or how to vote, but we need to be out there and make sure we do vote. You know, in the book of Romans, in the 13th chapter, it talks about the Christians. We are subject just as well to the government. And so we need to consider the fact that there is an election and that we need to make sure that our vote does count. So try to make it out to the polls this Tuesday, upcoming Tuesday, for this upcoming election. So with that, let us go to God in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, O Lord. We thank you that you have blessed us to be here once again. We thank you that you have given us this day, and we thank you for the time that changed on last night or early this morning, that we were able to catch up with a little sleep that many say that we have lost. We thank you, Father, for those who made it here on time, and we thank you for those who maybe still on their way, but we pray and ask you, Father, to get them here safely. We pray for the leaders of this congregation. We pray for the brethren who have taken place, the brothers who have taken part in this services thus far. We pray both for the leadership, their families, as well as the brethren who has taken part in this services. We pray for those who shall come after this point on. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us, and we pray and thank you especially because you got us up this morning. You woke us up and sent us along our way, gave us food to eat, clothing for our bodies, and we're just so ever eternally grateful. We thank you that Jesus died on yonder's cross to save us, not only to save us, but also to purchase his church, O Lord, and we thank you for that. Father, we pray for those leaders who are in charge of us, and we just pray that they not make any rules that would harm us in our worship to you, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us. And it is in the name of the one who went up Calvary's hill that we ask all these blessings and more. Let us all say amen. The subject was read for your hearing this morning from the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, starting with verse number 1 and continuing on through verse number 3. We want to talk about this morning for a little while about careless Christians. And sometimes when there are certain subjects that come up and you get an idea or you get a feel for what's going on, you get the pulse of the church. You get the pulse of what's happening with us. And sometimes we have to go back and regather our thoughts. Sometimes we have to go back and to see where we are. So this morning, we're going to talk about careless Christians. As Christians, we sometimes take our Christianity for granted. We know the Lord, but we forget that in order to stay in his good graces, we must not allow ourselves to become slack. When we become slack, we drop our guard. And you know who comes in knocking at our door when our guards are let down. He waits for us and he causes us to fall sometimes. Some are under the misunderstanding that troubles are no longer a bother to us now that I'm a Christian. How far from the truth that is. The text is speaking of the text, what the writer of today's text is speaking of. He lets us to know that if we slip, we can be sleeping with the enemy. So we too are to be very careful and watch where we step. So in the text, the Bible says, therefore we ought to give thee more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and the transgressions and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, here's the kicker, church. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? If we are not careful, And I mean, we have to be very careful. If we're not careful, we may find that we have become a friend to the dark side. And if we become a friend to the dark side, you know what that means. So we have to be careful, because when we become careless, we also become doubtful. And when one has become doubtful, he or she begins to question what they once believed in, what they once thought to be in acceptable terms for them, or in acceptable terms for them, meaning what they have learned to be true, what they know to be true, but now they find themselves doubtful sometimes. Is this really true? Is that really the way things are expected to be? Is that really the way the Lord wanted things? A good example of this may be found in the Matthew account of chapter 14, where Jesus, starting in about verse number 25, where Jesus came walking on the water out to meet the disciples who were in the boat. But somewhere in that walk between the boat and land, Peter decided that he wanted to walk on the water as well. He decided to meet Jesus walking in the water. But I like verse number 30. For verse number 30, that he began to doubt. He began to be in doubt. The wind came, became strong. He began to be afraid. He began to sink, crying out loud to Jesus, "Save me." But in verse number 31, Jesus stretched out his hand and to save him. But he also asked the question, "Why did you doubt?" So to Christians sometimes we have to ask that question. Why are you doubtful? Why do you doubt the word of God that you, when you first became a member of the Lord's body, you believed so faithfully, but now you have began to doubt? So you wonder sometimes about us as Christians. Do we really understand, and are we really careful Christians, or are we careless Christians? When we say we trust in Him, why do we doubt Him? When we say we trust in Him, we must lean onto God for all of our understanding. Is it because we don't think Jesus can deliver on what His promises are to us? Or is it because we think that we can do a better job of running and hurting our lives than Jesus? Jesus is capable of doing for us what we ask Him and much more. Jesus went to the cross, not for Himself, but for us, to save us. Yet we still have doubts. So the question becomes, why do we doubt? Why do we doubt so much when Jesus has done so much for us? Why is it that we are doubtful when everything that Jesus ever promised us, if it hasn't already come true, it shall come true? There's no promises in the Bible that won't be delivered on, or that have not already been delivered on. In Hebrews, in the text in verse number 3, look what it says again. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? How can we escape if we can neglect so great a salvation? The gospel is all about God's great salvation, so great that there is not another like it, nor even close to it. When we are not careful, we must ask questions of ourselves. We must ask ourselves, how shall we escape? If we want to be saved, God has given us the way. God has given us everything we need to be saved. But in chapter 12 of Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 12, I should say. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. In other words, you don't have to doubt God. God is alive and well, and God is working for us still today. Now, some may ask the question, what is God doing? What is Jesus doing for us? He's already died for us, but He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. That's what He's doing for us. But God has given us the way that we can reach our salvational highlights, if you will. He warns us that if we're not watchful, an evil heart of unbelief can cause us to depart from the living God. Therefore, in the text, it tells us, as the text tells us, we must take heed and we must learn to accept the word of God and not question it. You know, When we began to read the Word of God, and we began to get a better understanding of what God has in store for us, you have to ask yourself, if this was not true, why would God have put it in the Bible? Because the Bible tells us that God cannot lie. So if it wasn't true, why did God put it in the Bible? And then we must ask ourselves, do I trust the Lord? If I trust in the Lord, then I won't doubt the Lord. If I trust in the Lord, then I know He'll make a way and make everything all right. Now, a lot of us are under the impression that I'll never have any more problems as long as I remain a Christian. I'll never have any more troubles as long as I remain a Christian. I'll never have to worry about anything because everything would be handed to me on a silver platter. That's not true. That's not true. Christian folk have trouble. Non-Christian folk have trouble. People who call themselves Christians have trouble, whether they are Christians or not. People who are not Christians have bigger problems than you because they don't have anywhere to go to. But we at least have the Lord to go to upon our, when we have troubles in our lives. So when we look at John chapter 3 and round about verse number 18, the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. So if you don't believe, you're already condemned. But when I think of Christians, when I think of the way that we have been blessed, when I think of how blessed we are, I have to ask myself this question. If God is really this good to me simply by me being a Christian, why shouldn't I continue to be a Christian? Why should I not continue on in His ways? Because the world's ways just won't work. We never want to cause ourselves to become doubtful Christians. For when we become doubtful Christians, we become careless Christians. When we become careless Christians, we began to question everything that the Lord has taught us through His Word. When we become careless Christians, we began to ask questions of ourselves that sometimes don't even make sense. This morning, when we look back at the Bible school lesson once again, and you should have been here this morning because it talked about the church. When we look back at the church, we began to ask ourselves the question once again, if God died on the cross and out of His side came blood and water for the purchase price of the church, why should we not honor the church by being a member of the Lord's body? If we care about the Lord and we want to be a careful Christian, we ought to consider that we need to be members in the Lord's body and not falter when it comes to coming to church. And I know there are many who wake up on Sunday morning, oh, I got a headache. Oh, I got this ache. Oh, I got that ache. And I don't think I'm going to make it this morning. So you began to toss and turn. And in your mind, see, you began to toss and turn. Because in your mind, if you're a careful Christian, you know that the Bible tells us we ought to be here on Sunday morning. It tells us that we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But when you become doubtful, when you become a careless Christian, you begin to question me being there every Sunday. You begin to ask yourself, why do I need to be there every Sunday? You begin to search your mind, the mind of a non-Christian kind of filters in at that point. And you begin to question, if I just go once a month, isn't that enough? If I just see everybody every now and then, that ought to be good enough for me, and then I can serve the Lord here at home. Well, you're becoming very careless. You're becoming very careless, and you need to make sure that you go back to the Scriptures and find out what the Lord wants us to do. And He wants us to come up on the first day of the week. How many first days of every week are there? There's one in every single week, and we need to be here. Not only do we become doubtful, but we also may become dull Christians if we're not careful. We become dull Christians, and what does it mean when you say, I'm a dull Christian or I've become a dull Christian. Well, simply put, it's when one begins to become slow in comprehending that which is known or being taught. Our senses become slow in responding to God's message to us. The Bible tends to become a put-away book, if you will. A book that I'll pick up and I'll look at it for a few moments and then I'll take the attitude, I'll get to it when I have more time. That's what happens when you become a dull Christian. The Bible points this out in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. You don't hear anymore. You don't hear the word of God anymore calling into your inner mind, your heart. And when we as Christians begin to get careless, we begin to get slack once again. And as we slacken off, we begin to wonder, those same things that I heard about when I first became a Christian, they're probably not true anymore. That's what we say to ourselves. That's how we justify to ourselves. And so when you look at Hebrews chapter 5 and 11 there, it brings home the point. When folk have become dull hearers, teaching becomes difficult. They are constantly searching their minds because they no longer comprehend like they used to. What they do comprehend, they are slow to believe. What they do comprehend, they began to doubt if that's really the truth. They never doubted it before, but they become careless now, and so they began to doubt it. Those who are non-believers, we already know their mindset. But instead, I'm not speaking so much to them this morning. I'm speaking to those of us who are Christians. But the gospel of Christ may not appeal to them any longer like it used to. Careless Christians, those of whom I am speaking to today, those who have allowed themselves to find a different direction for their Christianity, those who have allowed themselves to find worldly pleasures greater than godly matters, those who are maybe in danger of becoming like the seed that was sown by the sower in Matthew chapter 13. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony places. Some fell among thorns, but thanks be to God, some did fall on good ground. And they are those of whom bring forth future fruit in other words, those who are careful and cautious Christians are in a position to teach and tell others and to bring others to Christ. You know, somebody mentioned, I heard somebody say this morning that when we learn, we can be able to defend the gospel. It wasn't said in those words, but when we learn, we can tell others about the gospel. When we learn, we can teach others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's nothing more frustrating for a Christian than to be caught in a situation and they have him on the rope. Non-Christians have him on the rope, and they can't defend their gospel beliefs. But you know what you always say to somebody? If you don't know, just tell them. I'll get back to you later on with it. Don't be ashamed to say that I don't know. Be more ashamed that you don't know how to answer the question. And if you know how to answer the question, or get on the phone and call somebody and say, just a minute, I'll give you an answer in 1 minute. But when we learn to teach others and bring others to Christ, unlike Christians who have become careless, they can't even get themselves together, much less bring others. Careless Christians are in danger. They are a dangerous breed to be around because you never know what may come out of their mouths. You never know what they may say. You never know what they may do. Sometimes somebody told me just the other day about Christians. Somebody told me that I know where you were at on, they didn't tell me, they wasn't talking to me, but they told me this. They said, I knew where some of the folk were at Sunday morning when I went to church because I saw them wearing the same thing they had on Saturday night at the party that I was at. And I'm not a Christian. So I said to myself, that's probably a true point. Christians get careless. Christians get careless from time to time. And there's nothing wrong with you necessarily going to a party depending on what kind of party it is. Depending on what you're doing at that party. and depending on what's happening at that party. But a careful Christian will know his surroundings before he gets there. You don't wait until you get there to find out what's happening. You find out what's going on before you get there. That's like when Christians go on vacation. Oh, and I know this may be a sore spot with some. When you go on vacation, you don't wait until you get where you're going to look for a church of Christ. You look for a church of Christ before you get there. And you already have it in mind. So Sunday morning, you'll be able to go to it. And there are some folk will say, this is in their mind. They may not say it, but in their mind, they'll say, the Lord doesn't mind if I miss today because I'm on vacation. Well, do you remember in the Bible the story of Jonah, how he decided that he was going to go on vacation when he was told to go preach? God got him, didn't he? He taught him a very important lesson. So we don't want to miss church, do we, church? All right. So not only do you become a doubtful and a dull Christian, but when you're not a careless Christian, you can become disobedient. When one becomes disobedient, God is not pleased. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 around verse number 25. In Hebrews chapter 12 around verse number 25, the Bible says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." In other words, if you become disobedient, don't hear the Lord, what are you going to do? How are you going to get away? Those Jews back in the days of old, they didn't listen to God. They refused to accept. They refused to hear God plead to them. But some of us, we get like that. We refuse to hear. And God is not here on earth any longer, but he left his word here for us. He left his word so that we'll know what he expects of us. God is not very pleased at all when we don't obey him. The word of God tells us, he that refused him not, that speaketh you if they escape not, who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. When those Jews of old refused to hear God's word, and God spoke to them on earth, today we are warned. We are warned if we refuse to hear him from heaven, the question becomes, how shall we escape? How shall we not escape? Being obedient. The Jews of old were promised a blessing if they obeyed the Lord's commandments, and a curse if they disobeyed the commandment. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting around verse number 25 or 26, if you go there on your own time, you'll see that God left them a curse. He thank God for Jesus who stands between man and God, for he is our intercessor. He is on the right hand and makes intercession for us according to Romans 8 and verse number 34. When we have gone from being a careful and a watchful Christian and falling into a state of becoming a careless Christian, we need to come back home to God, to the good graces of the Lord, the one who can open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. When God opens the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing from heaven, from those windows, there shall not be enough room for us to receive. And I may as well pause and stop here for a moment just to let you know. The board last week is unacceptable. That's unacceptable because we're not getting your money. We need to have your money in order to run the church. Now, I'm not begging for something for me. I'm begging that you do the will of the Lord and give your money. Give what you have prospered in your heart. And when you think about it, that's not doing any more than you're supposed to do if you want to stay a careful Christian. Give as you have prospered. That's what the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7. Why and what are you giving for, somebody may say? Because the Bible instructs us on this matter. Give because you love the Lord, because he gave all of himself for us, because he loved us. How much do you love him back? Do you love him back just a dollar's worth? Or do you love him back a little bit more than that? How much do you love the Lord? If I gave my life, if I was told, if I give my life, you would give a bigger portion, I still wouldn't give my life. But God already, Jesus already gave his life for us. And why don't we want to give back to him? I don't understand it. Now, I know what some are probably saying. I give all that I can. I give what I prosper in my heart, and I don't have any more. Well, that's okay, then. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those who said, well, if I skimp a little bit here this week, I can get me a little bit more of something that I want. But what you've got to understand is that one day you're going to be asked about this. How come you didn't give? How much do you love Jesus? How much do you care about him? And then you ask yourself, am I a careless Christian or am I a careful Christian? Only you can answer that question. Search yourselves today. Ask yourself the question, what kind of Christian have I become? What kind of Christian has the world called me to become? Or have I let the world influence me away from the Lord? Remember what the text says in Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense of reward, then the question becomes, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we don't do what we're supposed to do? So you ask yourself that question, what kind of Christian have you become? And I'm almost done. What kind of Christian are you? Are you sitting in the chair of carelessness? Or are you sitting in the chair of carefulness? Which Christian are you today? And then, when it gets down to your life, if God didn't give his life, you wouldn't have no life. If God didn't give up everything, Jesus left the palace of heaven to come to the pig pen of earth, and yet we treat him the way we treat him sometimes. And I'm not scolding anybody in the church. I'm just talking to all of the church. I'm talking to the preacher all the way back to the back door. I'm talking to everybody in here that when you treat the Lord wrong, you have become a careless Christian. And when you become a careless Christian, you put yourself on dangerous ground. Remember how dangerous Peter was at one point? Peter denied the Lord. And he walked out and stood by the fire warming himself. And they began to recognize Peter as he stood by the fire. And somebody said he was with them. And Peter said, no, I wasn't. I don't know him. Then they came back to him in a little while and said, Peter, you were with them. I saw you with them. And he still denied. And then they came back a third time. And Peter began, he really lost it because that's when he began to curse. And I know some Christians who curse too. Oh yeah. So we have become from careful to careless. And when we go from careful to careless, we put not only ourselves in jeopardy, but we put sometimes those around us because I can no longer be a good influence on them. They no longer trust my judgment. You go into some of your neighborhoods and people will ask the question, he's a Christian? Are you sure? That's when you become careless. Because folks don't know you are a Christian. Doesn't the Bible tell us we should let our light shine so that others may see? Not that you may see, but so that others may see. Careless Christians. They are a bad influence on some folks. I would become a Christian, but if I act like Brother Carter and the way I see him living, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be no part of it. Well, that doesn't bode well for me, does it? That doesn't say a lot about me if they can't tell me from the world. That means I've become careless. That means I've got to ask myself the question, how shall I escape if I neglect so great a salvation? But then when you put it in the big picture, it becomes we. How shall we escape? Where are you at this morning, church? Are you careful or are you careless? If you're careful, you're doing all right. I didn't say good. I say you're doing all right. If you're careless, you need to change your ways. You need to come back home. Do you remember the prodigal son, how that he came back? He became careless, but he came back. Don't you want to come back today? You can have an opportunity. You have an opportunity right now in just a moment as we begin to issue the invitation. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. For some of you who have already been these five steps, you need to come back. You need to ask the Lord to give you strength to carry on, and then come forward and ask the church to help you to pray that you get that strength to carry on. That's when you're coming back. That's when you're making your way back home. That's when you are coming from a careless Christian to on your way back to being a careful Christian. Careful Christians or careless Christians? You're one or the other. There's no in between. I can't be a part-time Christian. I can only be careful or careless. And somebody might say, well, preacher, if I can be careless, how come I can't? If I can't be a careful Christian, how can I become, if I can't be if I'm a careless Christian, how can I become a careful Christian? I just outlined it for you. I just told you about it. Come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you've already been that route, you are already a Christian. You need to just simply come back home and be one with the Lord once again. If this is your desire, we together stand in the song of invitation.
Number 207.